to the last psalm in this fourth level. Let's turn to Psalm 131. It's a very short psalm, but it says it all.
Short and to the point.
Exactly. Right.
Wonderful.
And it really is a short word. Because, but it's the critical one to cap off this level. So let's read it all together.
Lord,
my heart is not haughty, nor my eyes lofty. Neither do I concern myself with great matters, nor with things too profound for me. Surely I have calmed and quieted my soul, like a weaned child with his mother, like a weaned child in my soul with me. O Israel, hope in the Lord, this time forth and forever. Hallelujah. Yes.
My heart is not
haughty. Amen.
Lord, my eyes.
Right. Amen. Oh Lord. Yes. Haughty. Amen. Nor my eyes lofty. Amen.
Yeah, Lord, dude, take away our haughty hearts.
Amen.
And our lofty eyes.
Amen.
Save us to the other.
Amen. Oh Lord, deliver us, Lord,
Amen.
From our haughty hearts,
Amen.
Lofty eyes.
Amen.
Oh Lord, Amen.
Neither do we concern ourselves with great men.
Amen.
Nor with things too profound.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Concern ourselves with great matters.
Yes. Amen.
Yeah.
Oh Lord, right. Amen. Yes. Like a weaned child, as is my soul within me.
Amen.
Pray you would give us such a calm and quieted soul.
Yeah.
Amen.
Thank
yes.
You,
thank you.
Lord, we want to ascend.
Amen. Yes. Amen. Amen.
Lord, take us up.
Amen. Yes. Thank you, O Israel, hope in the Lord.
Amen.
From this time forth and forever.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. I really enjoy how these three psalms go together. You know, with the fellowship concerning the sufferings that we have to go through. You know, without the suffering, if the Lord did not go through the sufferings that he had to do as a man, I can only imagine he would be so proud. Right? Can you imagine? You know, he's so capable, he's so gifted, he's able to speak so much and heal, and, I mean, everything that he can do. But if there was not the sufferings that he had to go through, then there would be no way for him to be humbled and to be brought low, to be lowly in his humanity. And this psalm really caps it, because it says, Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor my eyes lofty. Because at the end, if we go through all these sufferings and afflictions and trials, and we realize it is only the Lord that can do it, and how could there be any pride within our hearts? And this is something that we all need to attain to in this fourth level as we get to this point. I was considering, you know, when we look back in the years in the church life, and there's a lot that we went through just here in Fountain Valley since 1999. And just like in the same way Moses said, you know, when you start meeting at the church, this is when the gates of Hades will try to prevail against the church. And Satan will do everything he can to discourage us, to knock us down, and everything. And sometimes it just seems so impossible. I still remember at one point, I was asking, Lord, you know, how can we do this? How can we deal with this? Especially with the opposition from within the church. We read Psalm 137. Right? It was the sons of Edom that said, raise it down to the foundation. Right? The sons of Edom, who were the sons of Edom? They were the flesh brothers of Israel. And what is the closest to us? It's our flesh. It's our very flesh that wants to destroy the church. Right? And so, what can you do? I mean, you know, and I still remember, I even asked John, what should we say? Should we do something? Do we need to say something? And all he could say, nothing. You just pray. Trust in the Lord. And when we're fellowship with Mo and we're talking about what's going on, there's nothing we can do. There's nothing we can do. You know, we stay up late last night to fellowship. There's nothing we can do. There really is nothing we can do. Right? The only thing we can do is to cry out to the Lord. Right? And out of the depths I have cried to you, O Lord.
Amen.
Hear my voice.
Amen.
Let your ears be attentive. To build the church definitely cannot be done by our hands. And the Lord uses Satan to make sure we know it cannot be done by our hands. You know, at the end of all the different things that we go through, all I can really say, it is really the Lord's mercy that we are still meeting as the church in Fountain Valley. And it is really the Lord's mercy that He could build here. This is nothing of our capacity, our human capacity to do. It's not because we have gifted brothers who can speak. It's not because we have gifted musicians who can play instruments. It's not because we have gifted sisters who can serve in children's ministry. It's not any of this that is for the building up of the church. It is really only the Lord. But you will never know this until you have to go through the sufferings. Right? When I consider going back, you know, we've also seen, you know, many who have gone before us who built up such a marvelous work for the Lord. And they would, it eventually became to the point where they would say, you know, if it's not for my ministry, the churches would not exist. And that, if you take that one phrase, that one sentence, you could just apply it to yourself. Hey, if it wasn't for me faithfully vacuuming the meeting hall, then this meeting hall would be dirty. Or mopping. Or whatever. It could be anything. Hey, if it was not for my songwriting abilities, you would not have this song. Right? If there is, and we've seen this. And we've seen this. And this is the danger we all face today in the church life. Why is this a danger? You know, we live in a society that is so driven by the accomplishments that we have done. You know, everything that I've done in my career, you know, when they write about you and they tell everybody what you've done, they write about all the things that you've done that impacted the business. The whole society is geared this way. You know, the last few months, I helped some of the brothers and sisters rewrite their resumes. Right? Because the effectiveness of a resume is how you write it. And, you know, you think about it, it's all about what value did I bring to the business? And it's all about what I did. If you get into this mindset, then eventually it becomes your pride that will carry over into the church life. Hey, without me, the business could not grow. Without me, this could not happen. And this could very much affect us here. You know? I have to thank the Lord. I really need to thank the Lord for all of the difficulties we went through in Fountain Valley. Because if we did not go through the difficulties at the end of, I don't know, 14, 15 years, you could look back and say, hey, look at what we did. Right? This is the danger. This is the danger that we face. And this is why it's so good to see. And to this, we have to be exposed. This has to be exposed in us. To see our condition. We are at this level, but there's still the danger that we could fall in that way. But praise the Lord. If we are willing to go through the sufferings, not to run away from it. One way in the sufferings is to run away. The other way is to fight it and try and do something about it. But either way is not the way. The only way is to cry out to the Lord. Amen. And here, this is the Songs of Ascent of David. Praise the Lord for what the Lord did in David. David was the king, right? He had defeated and subdued all of the enemies of God. And he brought in the kingdom of Israel and stabilized it. And even gathered all the materials for the building of God's house. But yet, he was so humbled. My heart is not haughty. My eyes not lofty. And then I also really enjoyed in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 and 6. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elder. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Praise the Lord. Peter really spoke this out of experience. When you read through the gospel and you see how hard Peter was trying. And there was a lot that Peter had to suffer in those 3.5 years that we watched him through the disciple as he was a disciple of the Lord during those 3.5 years that the Lord was on the earth. But eventually, the Lord really was able to transform Peter. And Peter realizes, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And I also enjoyed the matter of Paul in Philippians chapter 3. You know, Paul was the one who wrote 14 epistles, and the Lord had shown him so much. But yet, in verse 12 of chapter 3, it says, not that I have already attained, or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Right, and then he goes, brethren, behold, I do not count myself to have apprehended. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. So even Paul realized that I have not already attained or am already perfected. Right? So even at the end of Paul's life, he still did not feel that, hey, look at me. I've written 14 epistles and I'm doing this and I'm doing that. No, at the end, he's still saying, have not already attained or am already perfected. And pray that this would also be our experience as we go up in the Songs of Ascent. Right? But there is the danger. There is the danger. Right? Our natural concept is the older we grow, the more mature we go, the more capable we are. That's our natural concept. Hey, I've been through it. Been there, done that. I can handle it. But in the church today, if we want to grow and to build up his church, then this cannot be. This cannot be. Because it is who builds the church? It is the Lord who builds the church. If anything, we should realize that all of the wondrous things that has happened in the church here is because it's the Lord who done. It is the Lord who does great things for us. That's why it says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Right? So it's not for us to worry about. This is the Lord's work to do. The Lord will do this in us. And then in verse 2 it says, surely I have calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child with his mother. Like a weaned child is my soul within me. Right? When you look at these little ones there, especially the weaned ones, and you ever notice that they still like to come up to their mom and hold them and cuddle them and just rest there, right? Every time I try to pick up Rebecca, no, mommy. And then she has to go into mommy's hands. And just, there's such a peace, right? A calm there. Do we reach out to the Lord in the same way? Do we come to the Lord in the same way? Just as a weaned child with their mother. To really rest in the Lord. This should be our experience, right? It's something, this experience we all still need to get to. I mean, if I look back in the experience, still many times in the middle of the situation, the persecution, one part of me is just, I'm not quieted. I'm just restless. I'm just thinking and I'm worried for God's house. And if I remain in my natural man, yes, then I will get more gray hair. And really be stressed out. And not be healthy. Right? But it's in those times that we really learn to begin to turn to the Lord. Amen. Just like as a weaned child with his mother. To rest in the Lord. Amen. And to really let it go. And I tell you, when you can do that, there is really the peace. The calm that is in your soul. And we can actually sleep peacefully at night. Not worry so much about the church in that way, because the Lord is taking care of his church. Ultimately, it's not just individually. At the beginning it says, my heart, but in verse 3 it says, O Israel, hope in the Lord. Amen. From this time forth and forever. Amen. So it's not just each one of us individually to experience this, but this is for the whole church. This is, as the church, we also should really hope in the Lord. Amen. Learn to trust in the Lord. Right? Today we may have a good church life, but tomorrow the persecutions will come. Right? We shouldn't feel proud that we are still so good. This has to become our experience as we go higher and higher. And the matter, let's see, this is the one point. In this matter, the hope is in the Lord. When we go through those situations, and as we are going through those situations, this is really our hope. Our hope is in the Lord. Only the Lord can deliver us, and only the Lord can build us up in such a way, right? This is why I really enjoy these days more and more and more is just to pray and pray and pray. We're always constantly being reminded. Whether we're on the conference call, whether we're fellowshipping with the brothers, we're always reminded. Pray and always pray. Right? We see the situations. We see all the sufferings. We see the trials in all the churches, especially all over North America. Many times we feel like we feel so powerless. We can't get to Sacramento, or we can't fly wherever, you know, because everybody's separated by such great distance. You have to fly. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? Right? And if you just stay in your natural mind, then you start thinking, wow, you know, these are great matters. Things are so profound for me. I was just like, whoa, you get all headache and you get all stressed out. Right? But if we try to solve it ourselves, and let's say we do fix things on our own, so to say, then we end up being proud. Right? So in the end, pray. Pray much. This is all we can do. Pray for the churches. Pray for all the brothers. Pray for all the saints, that we would really learn to trust in the Lord, that He would finish the job. So, may the Lord deliver us from haughty hearts, lofty eyes.
Amen.
Amen.